and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shay Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA SIPC. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and the opinions given are for informational purposes only and are not intended as financial, tax, accounting, or legal advice, and are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their individual needs with an appropriate professional.
And welcome aboard, everybody, WTCM's New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Mr. Dennis Prout, CFP, is in the house. Welcome back, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron, on Thursday, May 27th, 2021. Thank you for listening. We certainly appreciate it. Now, this weekend, of course, Memorial Day weekend, all six grandkids are coming north, for those of you who want to know, with the seventh one on the way. She and the child will be there as well, but of course will be introduced later. So exciting. Because it's Memorial Day weekend, I wanted to share this poem that I thought of in memorial, in essence, from the battlefield of World War I, 1915. Some of you already probably know what I'm going to read. It's called In Flanders Fields, written by a doctor, a physician of the day, who'd seen incredible death on that battlefield. In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. So it was said that the poppies were so beautiful on the fields where all of his his brethren had passed away. It was so gorgeous that he penned that poem and initially threw it away. And then some of his comrades said, "You gotta get that thing published." But it lives on, more than 100 years later. So for those who are going to help memorialize those who have gone before, thank you. I don't know whether there are going to be any memorial services being held this weekend, but for those of you who attend, certainly good memories from years gone by. And for those of you who have family members who served and some who passed away as a result of that service, we thank you for the freedom that we still enjoy as a result today. So joining us today is John Sluice. John Sluice, thank you.
Thank you.
The amount of applause there just was inspiring. John Sluice, local CPA, InTrust CPAs, been a CPA for some time, has been on the show before. Today, we're going to be talking about some of the new proposed tax packages. Emphasis on proposed. Some things have already passed so far this year, but a lot of proposals which will make a significant difference, and we want to talk about that in detail. Shay will be here a bit later sharing Shay stats. But the tax landscape is changing. By the way, InTrust CPAs, just for those who want to locate, is right off of Woodmere,
Woodmere and Hannah, 732 Hannah.
Thank you.
Phone number. 231-935-1590.
1590. Thank you, John. 231-935-1590. So the tax landscape is changing. The observation, my observation from our meeting that we had on Monday where we were talking about this and the upcoming show, what you said was very interesting. Virtually all clients right now are saying they think taxes are going to go up. And you said like never before. You'd never seen that, quite that number of clientele, if you will.
Yeah, I have not seen the recognition, if you will, or the acceptance that taxes are going up. I mean, most individuals understand that thus far, so what has already been passed as part of the COVID relief is $5.3 billion trillion dollars with a T. Yeah. Sorry, silly me. But $5.3 trillion has been passed. And they understand that's got to come from somewhere. They're business owners. They're individuals. They know they got to balance their budget. They got to pay for what they wrote. And they understand that those checks were written. Those payments are going out to the states, to the individuals, to the people, to the corporations. And it's got to get paid. And as a government, where does it come from? Increases in taxes. And so there are very few people that do not anticipate taxes are going to go up. It's just the level of understanding of that is unusual.
Interesting. Now, next, my own observation was based on our conversation as we got going that you're both disappointed and concerned about the impacts that these packages are going to have on the economy, and especially those individuals who tend to take risk and are building for the future and trying to accumulate what would in essence be appreciated assets, and the onerous taxes. You're concerned about the significant tax increases and what that is going to mean, how that's moving the ball, if you will, for those who are trying to accumulate long term and willing to take those risks. And given that willingness, in essence, they're rewarded long term. Many of those rewards from some of these proposed packages would be removed.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm seeing is what you typically see when you're trying to raise dollars when they're going through the pendulum, if you will, of fiscal monetary policy. And right now we're in the raising taxes, and they're going to start throwing things at the wall. They're going to start throwing one strategy out, two strategies, different ways to recognize income and to generate that taxation, if you will. And some of the things that are being brought up aren't new. They've been around for a long time. We were talking about one that's inside of Bernie Sanders proposing inside of the 99.5% Act. It's an act that I normally would not even be talking about on the radio here as a proposal because it's so far-fetched and so far out there.
It's so communistic, in essence.
It is
to cut to that chase, to give it a name. It's very close to communism.
Right. And so the fact that I even brought it up here is what it's showing is that the level, the $5.3 trillion, what is going to take to build that back up is so many things sticking on the wall that we have to be realistic of some of these things are going to stick. They might be watered down versions of what's being proposed right now, but the level and the amount of what's being proposed out there is mind-boggling. And Dennis, to get to what you're mentioning there is they're starting to look at and go into areas of taxation that they never have or have not for a long time looking to, which is that built-in capital gains and the saving. They're hitting savings.
You said they've never looked at that in terms of a growing economy. Go into some detail. What do you mean by that, John?
Well, I don't want to say never, but what I want to say is in America, you reward those that are saving, that are building wealth, that are doing. That's kind of one of the staples, if you will, of what they do. So you tax current earnings, not necessarily the built-in savings.
It's a staple of a growing economy. Mm-hmm. It tends to all boats rise with that growing economy.
It's a fiscal and monetary policy, if you will, that has been inside of the U.S. for in the tax law for a while now. I mean, it's, I don't want to say never, but it's been a while that they're doing this. And there are things, one example I'll point to very clear is a 1031 exchange. 1031 exchanges are something that's been around for a long time.
Part of the IRS code allows a individual or corporation that has appreciated real estate to defer the gains into the future if they transfer the value of that real estate into another piece of real estate.
Yep. And the whole premise of that, to get into the weeds a little bit on it, is that the IRS is saying that they are, even though a transaction happened, you're taking one type of asset and changing it for another. And so even though there's a different property or something else, the essence of what you have is the same. And so really what they're saying is there's no transaction. Mm-hmm. Therefore, getting back to the theory of what this is, that if nothing happened, that gains continues to build tax-free. The boat will continue to rise. And so from an IRS point of view, they're allowing you not to be taxed on that one particular event because you started and ended with the same thing.
They're incentivizing those who are willing to take the risk to grow that asset.
And
because we get it that billionaires may not always be billionaires, and that's what, to me, they're shooting at. A billionaire has a right to make money, but also to lose money as well. Mm-hmm. And so they're taking away that incentivation, if you will.
Yeah, and going back to that 10th round exchange, they're starting to say, well, no, that we are going to take that opportunity to tax, and they're taking mm-hmm. away that risk, if you will. So
all right. So they're taking that away possibly in some of these proposals.
Yeah. And so, the idea that I would even be talking about a 10th round exchange going away, I would have shook my head at that a year ago. And I can't imagine that I'd be talking about these or some of these other ones that we might even get to today. When you talk about tax growth or tax rate increases, there are certain areas you're like, yeah, that makes sense. We're going to talk about whether or not the 37% is going to go to the 39%. Yeah, it makes sense. We're going to be talking about it's a risk. I don't want to belittle that. Please don't hear that as being a belittle. That's big. Right. But it's one that it's always been on the table, and it's one we could be talking about.
That's the straight income tax rate you're talking about. The most likely those are going up, and those are common to go up and down.
They're going to go up and down. You got to tax. Sure. You got to plan for it. We got to talk through them. But again, it's a normal one. But there's some of these things, these capital gains, these inheritance taxes, some of these other ones, the 10th round exchanges that are starting to be put on the table that as myself as a professional, I start shaking my head and I'm wondering, it's fundamentally it's going to change how people do business and how you do life and how you grow and how you build wealth.
So people, in essence, are going to have to pivot from the current thinking. And in some cases, that pivoting may have to be substantial in that change of thinking.
Mm-hmm. And planning ahead.
Pass.
Any tax preparer is going to be out there telling you need to be planning ahead, right? That's nothing new. But it's even more important now as you look at it, because as we go through these things, what's going to happen is politics are going to drive a lot of these things, and there's going to be a lot of hidden taxes that are out there. And so they're the ones that the average American, the 85, the 99, whatever percent you want to use, are going to say, oh, yeah, that's fine. Let those other people pay for it. But those other people need to be thinking. And there's the scary thing about it is there is more and more and more of those other people. People tend not to think of themselves in the 1% or the 15% or the whatever minority percent you want to talk about, because you may not be there normally, and we might get to some of these examples later
sure.
in the show. But but normally you may not be in that particular case, but there might be 1 year you will, and all of a sudden that 1 year is a major thing. I'm alluding to maybe a sale of your business or a sale of your inheritance, or these events are going to become more and more important because you tend to think,
this could well be event-driven.
Yeah, it'll be event-driven.
Increasing taxes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, what's interesting about this, I was thinking this earlier this morning, that the what is that old quote? The person who represents themselves in court has a fool for a client, something like that. And I was thinking the amount of value that can be derived from getting great advice in these changing tax times is, to me, only going to go up significantly. And the importance to have great advice mm-hmm. is going to rise dramatically for those who may have these kinds of transactions.
Yeah, and I certainly am not going to downplay that. I think that's absolutely wise and astute and appreciate that. And I would say likewise backwards, but at the same time, I was excited when they simplified the tax code and made it so that the standard deduction went up, right? I mean, people kept saying, oh, aren't you afraid that you're going to lose business because more people are going to do their own taxes? No, I think it's great. If we can simplify that process and allow the average person to be able to do it themselves, fantastic. But what's happening now is this tax code is going right back the other way, and it's adding more complexity right back into it. And so all those gains that they had on simplifying the tax code just are getting more complicated now in more ways than one. And so it's just going right back to where it was, to where now I have to say, yep, now I don't care if you're a millionaire or if you make $3,000, it still makes sense that you're going to have to think about more than just doing a very, very simple return. So
interesting. So in essence, the complexity is increasing, the costs are increasing, and more people are going to be subject in surprising ways. They're going to need to plan before these kinds of once-in-a-while transactions. Do we have a question here, Ron?
I was just going to add a clarification. On the 1031 exchange, would that impact people, families just selling one house that they had a gain on and buying another house? Is that something that would impact some of that situation?
That would not in that particular case, because the 1031 exchange is done for is a business purpose. So if you had a rental, then it could be. But the personal exemption still is currently out there. But
yeah, so the personal exemption for home value increases has not gone away in that regard. Okay. Do we have time for a break here, Ron? Or we have a question first that you want to ask?
Quick text question.
Sure.
Is the 20% pass-through exemption on self-employed income on the table, and are there any plans or on the table regarding increasing taxes on Social Security income?
20%. What you're referring to there is, I think, the 20% pass-through is likely referring to QBID, which isn't just necessarily on self-employed income, but
that's what's QBID, if you will.
QBID is Qualified Business Income Deduction. So what that is it's a free 20% deduction on income, on earned income. So it rewards businesses to be profitable. And then it's one of the only deductions that are out there that it's... you don't have to spend the dollars to get. So it does reward you as a business owner. So in the question, he mentioned self-employed. It applies to self-employed, but it also applies to other businesses as well. I'm not aware of anything, but that doesn't mean it's not. There's a great example of one that it wouldn't surprise me, because you look at it and you say that that actually does impact and help many, many businesses, and it's a good deduction, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if they start going and grabbing certain areas, mm-hmm. it wouldn't surprise me that they don't. I mean, that's okay. So
great.
And
thank you, John.
Social Security income.
Social Security tax increases.
I'm not aware of anything specifically other than the age old. It's always, people are always talking about whether or not if they're going to do it, what they're going to do is they're going to likely, this is a guess, and I always tell my clients that, you know, I'm an accountant. I like to look backwards, not forwards. Mm-hmm. So take it for what that is. But if Social Security, the areas I see that happening is the continued increase in the tax base to pay it in. So right now, you know, so it was 127, now it's 132, or the number, they'll continue to increase the wage dollars that it does, and they'll continue.
That's subject to Social Security tax. That base is going to continue to increase.
And I also see that they'll probably continue to delay the full retirement age as well. So those are typical tactics that could be done and are in the normal course of what's already there. And so they can not have an increase. They can just adjust what's there already.
And of course, if the income tax rates increase and Social Security is already included, at least a part of it in that taxable income, then that's a way to, in essence, your Social Security benefits could be taxed at a greater level.
Correct.
Given that tax brackets go up, the percentages charged in each of those brackets.
And Dennis, what you just alluded to right there was a tax and a tax within a tax. So it's three levels. And what you're going to start seeing there is more of that, which mm-hmm. is, it's not going to be one particular tax. It might be a cell phone tax. It might be an income tax. It might be a sales tax. It might be a franchise tax. It might be all these other creative things, a fuel excise tax. That's in part, you know, so the IRS is in the Treasury, they're smart. They know that where they're going to be starting going is where is it least hardest to get these. What's the least path of least resistance to get this income?
Yes.
And that's not typically income. Income tax is very seen mm-hmm. where these other ones are hidden. And so you're going to start seeing more and more and more other taxes on the periphery, if you will.
Political expediency, in essence. Mm-hmm. You bet. All right.
Are you guys ready for some Shea stats?
Go.
Hit it.
To amaze and confuse you all at once. Here we go. The number of job openings in the United States has increased by 1.2 million in the last two reported months, meaning that the U.S. employers have added 20,441 new job postings each day during February and March this year. So the 8 million job openings nationwide as of March 31st, 2021 is the highest number recorded in U.S. history, and that's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Wow.
All right, moving on to the next one. Here we go. 59% of U.S. households made a large purchase during the first 4 months of 2021, so January through April, the highest percentage reported in 5 years of large purchases, including furniture, home repairs, and automobiles, and that's from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
Interesting how the goods and services are flying off the shelves. You go by a tractor dealer, I won't mention any names, but it's like there was somebody came in there with a giant vacuum cleaner. All those tractors were there, and now they're almost all gone. Yeah, it's incredible.
I wonder if I could Airbnb my pop-up.
You know, you might. It's in Traverse City. It's a pop-up,
you can,
but it's
actually
in Traverse City. Pop-up for you in Traverse City. Only $500 a night. It comes with a smile and a cup of coffee in the morning.
Hey, I could do that. And then Poppy, no my kidding. Dog, could wake them up like yes. an automatic alarm. This is a great idea. The U.S., the total U.S. credit card debt peaked at a record $930 billion as of December 31st of 2019, pre-pandemic, but has fallen 17% to $773 billion as of March 31st of 2021. And that's from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. So,
wow.
Well, this is interesting. It's called Not a Happy Camper, speaking of campers. 70% of Americans under the age of 30 believe that the distribution of wealth in the United States is unjust.
70%.
70% of Americans under the age of 30 believe that the distribution of wealth in the United States is unjust, and that's from the Cato
unjust.
Institute.
So it's interesting. It shows, I think it points up the, I'll just say it, the major problem in our educational systems within this country, because it's every right of every American to gain their own wealth, to shoot their own star, and to achieve what can only be achieved in a freedom-loving country. And if they believe that it's unjust, what's unjust about it, that some people have wealth and that I don't?
I'd just say distribution of wealth suggests that there's some entity out there distributing the wealth, which is not the case.
Right.
It's not like distributing.
And or that it's a zero net entity, that if my stock goes up, then someone else's has to go down. And that is communist thinking again. I've used that term a couple, three times this morning. But it's not the case, because wealth is created in an economy through improving dynamics, which could be improving efficiencies. It could be products and services that were heretofore never available, like the iPhone. Did the iPhone come as a result of debilitating someone else's phone? Well, the Magnavox phone certainly went out of style. But the iPhone came in and created billions of dollars of wealth. And John had something to say about that.
Well, I did. As I heard that, I heard the perception. And in as I, our practice, we work with individuals that are all ages, right? And I would actually agree with that sentiment of what I see, that perception of the younger generation.
So you sense that
so
from
I do
younger
see that.
Generation.
And the interesting about this is that, and I'm gonna take it from the tax law side of things. If I look at these new taxes and these new tax laws, I would agree that the distribution is unjust from one generation to the other. Ironically, it's counter to what that stat is, which is if you look at the tax law, the distribution is occurring from the wealthier generation that has now saved into the younger generation that is now earning, which is exactly the one that are feeling unjusted.
They're the beneficiaries
of it. So there's an ironic twist on that particular stat.
So they're going to be the beneficiaries of all this unjust wealth, in essence.
Yes.
But they're also going to pay a much higher tax to get that wealth, to receive it.
Yep.
So their penalty for having received that now Shay had mentioned and before the show that Heidi had used this as an example of everyone in a classroom should get an A. Could you go into a little bit of that?
Well, yeah, she was just trying to explain to her children, and they're younger than me, which now that's happening. I'm hearing that a lot more. That not everyone gets an A, and her daughter thought that was very unfair because she did more work and studied harder, and so she should get a better grade.
So Heidi had said to her daughter, everyone in your class should get an A. Mm-hmm. That's what
she was trying to explain this idea of everything being quote-unquote fair.
All they have to do is show up.
And
fairness, yes.
Fairness,
okay.
And so right. And her daughter said, well, that's not fair. I did more of the work. But she said, but everyone who comes to the class because they're there should get an A.
So whether or not you work for it, you should be rewarded in the same way.
Yeah, and she was just trying to put it in the context because her daughter's not making an income yet. So just trying to explain to her mm-hmm. why this feels unfair to other people.
Yeah, that's why, of course, communism doesn't work because it doesn't reflect on how people actually are motivated, does it? And we have all three of them on one side of the table over
so
there
cozy.
Fighting over the microphone.
analogy that I use quite often on this particular case would be you've got four individuals, four friends that go to breakfast every morning, and they decide that they're going to pay for their bill based on their respective income. And, you know, so one individual gets it for free because they're not currently working. The other one pays 10%, the other one pays 30%, and the other pays 70%.
Regardless of what you ordered.
Okay,
I'm sorry, but one paid 10, one paid 30, and the last one paid 60 then.
I meant 20, okay, but you're right. Thank you for correcting the account, and I do appreciate
it. No, well, I just keep track of those sorts of things.
So no,
you have two geeks in here. You're the one talking. I get it. Sometimes I lose track as well.
So we'll go.
Just talk to our listeners. They'll testify
to that. We'll go 1, 20, and 70, because it actually fits pretty well with the tax rates right now, let's say.
Okay.
So, you know, after time, they agree to do this. Every single week goes by, and they continue. The one gets it for free. The other pays 10%. The other pays 20%. And then the third one pays 70%. And then all of a sudden, one week, the individual that paid 70% didn't show up. And the other three were left here saying, well, wait a second. How do we pay for the whole bill? You know, so I'll let that sink and resonate and work through. But there's what we're talking about right there.
The one with the highest income is not going to come to breakfast because he or she has to pay an unjust amount for what it is that they received.
Well, there's three kinds of people in this world. Yes. Those who understand math and those who don't.
Those who don't are, most of them are in Congress, I think. And so, yeah, that's the problem.
You know, I made John laugh. Okay, so he's still laughing. This is good. All right, here's another Shay stat. President Joe Biden and his wife reported adjusted gross income of approximately $600,000 for the tax year of 2020. Vice President Kamala Harris and her husband reported an adjusted gross income of $1.7 approximately. For the tax year of 2020, $1.7 million.
Thank you. All
yes,
right.
And that's great. Source for that is the White House.
Great.
All right. Well, China had 12 million births in 2020. That's more than three times the births that took place in the United States last year, and that is from the National Vital Statistics System. Say that three times fast. All right. Here's a little golf stat for those of you who are getting out there. Seven of the top 10 golfers in the world as of Monday, May 17th of 2021 were Americans, including five of the top six. Tiger Woods, recovering from his car accident, has been ranked number one in the world for the record of 683 weeks.
Wow.
Woods is currently ranked 103 in the world. And that's from the official world golf rankings. That's what I got for Shay Stats. Anything else you need to know today?
Crazy stuff. Really good. Thank you.
Hey, and Morsels is open. Just so people know, you can get your coffee, sit outside. We got coffees this morning, downtown shops. Get down here, support the local. It's pretty out.
It is.
It's cold today, but
gorgeous.
Tomorrow it might be warmer.
Here it goes on the way up. Appreciate it. All right. Okay. We have some time before we need to take our next break, John and Ron. And so next up, capital gains taxes. Gains taxes as a result of a capital gain property or appreciating assets. What is the change that could possibly occur in those taxes?
And again, here, this is proposed right now. So as we start into this discussion here, I want to reiterate that again, that this is proposed. And so we're talking early on in some theoretical things here. But in a little bit, we're talking about that gentleman that, or the individual that paid the 70% of the bill, of the, of the breakfast bill. What we're dealing with right here is the IRS is looking out, the Congress is looking, where are these earnings, where are these built-in earnings that we can start taxing? How are we going to be able to generate this revenue? And the one of the largest areas and the biggest items that are out there are built-in untaxed gains.
Appreciated assets,
some of which is in a 401k. Dennis, you and I have talked a lot about that one. But the other ones are inside of capital gains. So where this is your stocks that you haven't sold, that you've held for a long time, inside of your businesses, inside of your the farm that the family has had for generations, and you're looking to sell that, some of these other ones. And what they're talking about right now, and I'm going to dive into a little of the details here, and again, this is proposed, and so when I say that they're talking about $1 million, we don't know if that's single or married or how that fits, but the general gist of it is that they're talking about saying anytime that you have income greater than $1 million, capital gains would be taxed at the ordinary rate.
So that would be regular taxable wage income, or what sort of income? Or maybe that's not defined yet.
That's the undefined. So they've just, this is in the early stages where they've thrown out at the wall, anytime you make more than $1 million, any capital gains is going to be taxed as ordinary. And so what that's getting to is, politically, they're trying to get to that point that America is willing to accept, that says, oh, well, if you make $1 million, yeah, you deserve to pay a higher tax bracket. And so that's what they're trying to politically be able to pull, so that the masses say, yep, that's okay, that's a fair tax, because they deserve to pay that. They don't need it. Where I'm scared of, or where we're worried on this, is the fact that $1 million mark happens more than people like to think they do. It's going to be more transactional based, right? And so you might have an individual that makes $40,000 a year, and then now all of a sudden they sell the farm for $3.2 million, $40,000 a year. Well, that farm, that $3.2 million, or name the business, name the stock, name what you want, but you have a particular year where all of a sudden you sold something and it pushed over that million. Right now, you would have a 20% federal tax on the capital gains.
That would be the maximum tax.
Correct. And then you got the net investment tax and other ones, and we'll start tacking on all those other things. But for practical purposes, let's say 20%. If you're in the ordinary bracket at that particular year, you're talking right now 37. They're talking about making that even bigger yet, so 39. Let's just round. It's fun to round. Let's go 40%. So you're talking 20% versus 40%. So that's a double increase. So if you're talking a $3 million sale, all of a sudden you went from paying the 20% of $3 million.
Let's say their basis was $1 million in that property being sold. So their gain was $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the difference in terms of real dollars, John?
Approximately. You're going to do, so it's $400,000 in taxes under the old way. And this is just
federal.
Under the current law, would be $400,000, assuming that they're active in it, they're not paying net investment tax, and we're not paying state tax. We're just talking federal right now. Mm-hmm. So it's $400,000. Under the new law, $800,000.
So it's doubling.
It's a doubling of the tax. And I point this out because what I mentioned, and the key thing here that I want you to hear, well, one, it's doubling, but two, is that I started with saying the individual made $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Blip, $40,000. And so it's more than just people think, because politically they're going to say, oh, it's only if you make $1 million. So you're mentally,
it's only taxed on the rich.
Right. And so it's mentally, and this is where you'll talk about where we preface this show of big money problems or otherwise, that it hits more individuals than people like to think. And here's one, that most individuals don't like to assume that they're in the 1% or the 15% or the minority, but more and more people are, which is, it's a great thing to be in, but it's going to impact more and more individuals.
So. Taxing success, in essence, for those who are willing to take that time and take that risk. And continue to work to that degree that they did to accumulate that asset, there may be some real shifting for those who are liquidating those assets.
And
at
I'm gonna
least they're
going
to have to take a look at how can I take these gains over some time, correct?
How I would word it is, generally speaking, I think if you're listening to this radio show right now, you probably need to be thinking about it.
Yeah,
I mean, I took an assumption there, but that's what we're talking about.
You bet. Yes. Ron, did you have something?
So do you anticipate, if all this works out or something close to it, and you're kind of touching on that, will there be a lot of businesses for sale, a lot of farms for sale?
I don't guess. I know because I have several transactions that are happening right now that are already contemplating a proposed thought of maybe plan, let alone if they're going to be, if it actually comes through. I mean, I have business owners that right now are selling, and it's a major thing to consider. They did last year already because of this fear, because, I mean, you got your one, potentially one of your single most largest part of your portfolio is your single closely held stock in your business. And if you're talking about doubling that tax rate, I mean, that is mind-blowingly large amount of impact on your retirement plan, on your overall financial picture. That, yeah, here's the scary thing. I ran the numbers one time with my business partner. We were talking through, and we're like, okay, this is just going to be an ish, so please keep this in mind. But hypothetically, you'd be better taking a $3 million deal today than a $5 million deal next year, because wow, you're going to end up with more if these tax laws went in place.
60% of the price versus what you might possibly get if this law pass, or if this proposal passes, isn't made into law.
Yeah, and again, that was a very high level ish number scenario. But keep it, the theory of it is, the idea of taking $3 million today versus $5 million next year, just the spread. You just shake your head and you're saying it's tax should not impact you that fast. I mean, again, tax law is going up. We know it. Okay, let's go there. Let's have this nice, you know, boat. Let's deal with it. But this is so earth shatteringly different than what has ever been, that is typically talked about. That's the scary part.
Hit the nail right on the head there, John, in terms of retirement. That's what really got my attention, because obviously we're talking, for most folks, this is their retirement income, that they'll, the asset that they'll use for income at retirement. Mm-hmm. And if they're getting a $400,000 change in their tax, yeah,
it's huge.
Huge.
And here's the scary thing, too. When I look a little bit at it, and I look forward on this, and again, as an accountant, I like to look backwards. But if I look forward, the idea here is, this is so revolutionary that I would like to believe that they would do this prospectively. They wouldn't go back retroactively, because it is so fundamentally a big of a change. So that gives us some time to think. That was where I was thinking at first.
Prospectively, you're saying maybe 1-1 of 22.
Yep, that's what I'm like. Okay, that gives us some time. First off, that's scary enough as it is, because you think, okay, it takes the average to sell a business is anywhere between 6 months to 2 years, let's say. And so that's already very, very fast. But okay, so let's think, let's work through there. But now the scary thing, as you start working and thinking through this, is if they were to do this prospectively, this isn't just on businesses. This is on capital gains. Where else are capital gains? The stock market. So if they were to go prospectively, imagine the sell-off that would happen if all of a sudden you all of a sudden were told, whoa, every capital gain inside of here, instead of being at the 20% rate, is going to be at the 40%. What are you going to start doing? You're going to start selling. And what is that going to do to the stock market?
Prices have to come down.
And so they're starting to think through this, and they say, okay, well, maybe if we're going to do this revolutionary of a change, we should do it retroactively.
Wow.
Now be scared. Now process that. Now work through it. Now, again, this is all theoretical. This is all conceptual. What we're talking about, what I'm talking about today, call it a soapbox, call it what you want, is it's the level of acceptance that we as America have now gotten. We all accept taxes are going to go up, but to the level is what's scary. And as we work through this, that you need to be thinking now and at least having these plans of what do we do if and when. And so
truly what's under the cover is what could cause some real fear and cost out there in the public, as well as when we finally find out what the bill really says. It makes me think of the health bill, where they said, well, don't bother reading that, of course. You'll understand it when it's all imposed on us. So the real difference here is that it could be very, very expensive for a few who are having these once-in-a-lifetime transactions.
Yeah, and again, I say all this, and then I want everyone to also understand, don't go and just treat like the sky is falling either. And so this is, we have to be rational, thought provoking process through this, yes, if you will. And so don't hear that taxes are going up for everybody. Hear that taxes are going up on that transactional basis. And so there are other times when you're going to look at it and say, whoa, there are individuals that are huge beneficiaries of this tax laws and of these changes. And so don't hear that it's going to be every single person every single year that's going to have an increase. And so what you have to look at it is have a holistic approach on how you're handling this. Dennis, before the show, we talked a little bit about the idea that I say, as a tax professional, I owe it to my clients to give them the good news and the bad news.
Yes.
And one of those is the long range plan, that if I, as a tax professional, allow someone to have 0% tax, I'm not doing my job. It's fun. It makes my job great when I can give people gigantic refunds and tell you paid 0% taxes. But I'm doing them a disservice at 0%. Because what that means is you're not building and not using the opportunities of that lower tax bracket. If you look over history, the average effective rate versus the top line rate would give you statistics that say you really should be using that 12% bracket every single year. And if you're not, you need to be thinking about that.
Now, the 12% bracket for a couple up to about 81,000 or so of taxable income, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, which is a huge wide bracket at 12% right now.
Yep.
And is an opportunity.
Yeah, so the 12%, and then we can start working our way into the 22 and the 24, but mm-hmm, those are the discussions that we need to be having. And again, hearing that, I mentioned that individual might be making, let's say, 40,000, or let's say 2 million or 200,000, 200,000, 200,000, 200,000, and then 5 million. We need to be thinking on those years that are the 200,000s as well, because we don't want to just jump off the cliff and assume, the sky is falling, but you need to be planning for how do you handle these and spread those transactions out and work through.
Exactly. How do we mitigate some of this tax possibly, mm-hmm, coming at us?
And there's going to be planning. So let's go back to the million. No matter what they do, tax laws are going to be coming out. And they're going to work around it and pivot around most for the most part. Let's say it's $1 million and you're going to spread that. So all of a sudden, let's say you're going to close on December 31st and get a quarter of it. And then January 1st, you're going to get a quarter of it. So you're going to spread it. You're going to get creative. But at some point, you can only go so much and do so much. And so that's where I always say that the best thing you can do is to have a long-range plan and start recognizing these things over time versus all at once.
If you see at all these kinds of transactions happening in your future, get with your accountant, tax advisor, ASAP.
Yep. On a business sale, minimum of 5 years, you need to be planning and thinking about it. That doesn't mean you can't do it, but you should. The ideal would be at minimum 5 years out that you're starting to think about it. That's minimum.
That's great advice. 5 years ahead. Many business owners, from my view, have some issues with thinking about it 5 years beforehand because they want to keep their nose to the grindstone in terms of work, and they want to keep their emotions at check almost, not to think about selling, but I want to continue to grow this. So there's some real issues possibly emotionally that business owners need to think about as a part of this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. You bet.
All right, welcome back to New Retirement Radio on WTCM Traverse City. Our thanks, as always, to Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, proutfinancialdesign.com. Thank you, Dennis Prout.
Our pleasure, Ron. Thank you very much.
And our special guest today, Dennis's special guest, Mr. John Sluice, Intrust CPA in Traverse City, 935-1590. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's Prout, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.